Well, good morning, friendship. It is a great morning, even though you lost an hour of sleep last night. I promise you, it's going to be a great day today. How many of you are really excited that today is spring forward? Yes, all right. We hate all of you. Okay. This morning, we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to talk about what it means to be a friend. We've been in our seasonal series, and we started it in January, and we began with talking about what it means to be connected with God. Talk about that relationship, our vertical relationship with God, is incredibly important, to know what God wants us to do, to know what God wants us to be able to be connected with God in a fashion that we understand His purpose and His desire and His plan for our lives so that we can become all that God has called us and destined us to be. And then in February, we talked about financial, the fact that God has blessed us with this asset of money, but yet if we don't learn how to control it, if we don't learn how to manage it in the way that God has designed, then what's going to happen is it's going to control and it's going to manage us, and it's going to steer us away from what God wants for our lives. It's going to keep us from experiencing all that God desires for us. And then last week, we began the third part of this series. And for those of you that are new here at Friendship Church, just a reminder, we usually do two services. We're going back to that on April 9th, 9:30 and 11 o'clock. But we thought it would be a great time to be able to do one service, maybe for the last time in our history. We'll fit all in the same, you know, space for a while. And so we thought we would do this. So we're going back to that. But last week we talked about the fact that it has to begin if you are going to be relationally satisfied, which is that third part we've talked about, you know. God desires for us to be spiritually deep, to be financially stable, being able to manage the resources that God's given us to enjoy His purpose for our lives, and then to be relationally satisfied. Now, I know there's some people who think that they are super spiritual, okay? And they say things like this: all you need is a relationship with God. That's all you need. As long as you read your Bible in the morning and you read your Bible at night and you sing songs and you make sure you have a Christian radio station on, that's all you need. You don't need relationships with other people. Other people stink. We hate other people. They're horrible. Right? Maybe you've heard this. You're like, yeah, I said that once or twice. But here's the thing. I want you to pause for just a moment. Genesis chapter 1 begins with the creation of all things. It begins with, in the beginning, God created. Goes through all of chapter 1 and all the different days of creation. And when God gets to day 6, the Bible says that God creates Adam. In Genesis chapter 2, it gives us an expanded view of that day when God created Adam and Eve. God created Adam. He brought all the animals past Adam so that Adam could name them. And then at the end, Adam found that there was no one suitable to have horizontal relationship with him. Because we have the vertical relationship with God, but we don't have the horizontal relationship with others. He was by himself. And I want you to hear what God says. God says, it is not good. You know, there's something inside of us that says this. And maybe you've not experienced that. But I'll just tell you, there have been times in my life when I'm like, you know what? If I could get on a desert island all by myself, coconuts, a nice little, you know, hut, I'd be happy. There'd be no one else that would hurt my feelings. Anyone ever else feel like that? Just like, man, just a desert island would be great. All by my lonesome. That'd be fine. I'd be happy with the life. But here's the thing. God says that's not okay. God says that is not good for us. God literally has designed us to be able to engage in relationships with other people. And last week we talked about the fact that before you can engage with other people the way that God has designed you to engage with other people, you've got to look at yourself, because more often than not, the reason that we have disappointment with others is because we are disappointed with ourselves. We don't like what we see in ourselves, and so we make that bigger, we magnify it in what we see in others, and so therefore we're very judgmental, and we cannot do what God has called us to do, and that is to love others as God has called us to love ourselves. So today, we're talking about being friendly. Now, I remember when I was a little kid. I remember when my girls were little kids. Maybe you remember when you were little kids, and your mom sent you off to kindergarten or preschool for the first time, right? And one of the things that they tell you is, make friends, right? Make friends. Go make friends. Listen, here's some candy bars. Go make friends. Make some friends. Why do we want that? We want that for our kids because we know that we want that. We know that they need that. And so we encourage them to make friends. It's the same thing with God. God looks at us and goes, man, make friends. Here's a candy bar. Go make friends, right? Go make friends. Be friendly. So what I want to do is I want to begin with a verse in the Bible. And it begins like this. It's found in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs was written by Solomon, the wisest, richest, most powerful man that ever lives. And in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, and this is the New King James Version. I love the way that it translates this. It says this, a man who has friends must himself be what? I know, like, right? Your mind was just blown. Like, wow, what a concept. If I want to have friends, I must be friendly. This is radical, isn't it? And then he goes on to say, and then, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He goes, sometimes you may even have a friend that's better than family. You're like, yeah, that's not a hard stretch. We have these friends, right? We're like, listen, here's the thing about this that's so important for us to understand, and sometimes we don't get this, and sometimes we become so self-absorbed, and some of that may be because of what we talked about last week about being yourself and about understanding who you are and who God's created you to be, being okay with who God's created you to be, and being able to express that to others. But honestly, some of the times we look at other people and expect their friendship, but we give nothing or very little in return. And we become that person that's willing to take and take and take and take and take and take, but we never give. We never extend friendship to others. It's as if it is your privilege to be my friend. Aren't you blessed to be able to tag me in a post on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram? Because now you'll get 15 likes at least. Just because I'm in it. And that's how we think sometimes. Now, we would never say that out loud, right? We'd never post that. We'd never say that out loud. But that's sometimes how we think. So here's the big idea for today. It's very, very simple. It's not blowing your mind. It's simple. It's, listen, if you want to have a friend, you must be a friend. This is kindergarten type stuff here. But we don't get it, do we? We miss it sometimes. This is so simple, but it's so profound in its application in our lives. If you want to have good friends, you've got to learn how to be a good friend. If you want people around you that you can trust, you've got to be someone that's trustworthy. If you want people that love you, you've got to learn how to love others. It all begins with how you treat other people. If you want to have a friend, you've got to learn how to be a friend. If you're sitting here this morning, you're like, man, I don't have any friends. There may be a reason behind that. And it may be the person whose hair you combed this morning, and we're not talking about your kids. Because if you are constantly putting up the wall around you that no one can penetrate and no one really wants to work at, then you will be without friends. Because God says that if you want to be a person who has friends, you have to show yourself to be friendly. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to keep this super simple. I'm going to give you 8 things that the Bible says a friend is. Now, I want you, as we go through this morning, we're going to try to go through it quickly. Those of you that are blank fillers are like celebrating and posting, you're like, 10 blanks this morning. This is so exciting. But here's the thing. As we're going through this morning, here's what I want to do. I want to challenge you to do it both ways. I want to challenge you to look at yourself. Ask yourself, am I a friend who is this, 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 this? But then also ask yourself this. Are the people I'm surrounding myself with friends that are this, 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 and this? So let's begin. The first thing the Bible says a friend is a friend is faithful. A friend is faithful. Now, if you have ever read the book of Ruth, Ruth is an amazing woman. She is from the Moabite nation. The Moabite nation was cursed by God because of some of the activities and the things that they did against the children of the nation of Israel. And yet, Naomi, who's the mother or mother-in-law in this story, and her husband and her two sons leave Israel and go and live in Moab, where the Moabites were. And she does so because there was a famine in Israel. Her two sons both marry women from Moab. They marry outside the tribe of Israel, which God had said, no, I don't want you to do that because they'll turn your hearts against God. I don't want you to do that. Marry people that love God. And so they married these two women. And so because of all these things, God allowed Naomi's husband to die and both of her boys to die. So here now she is a woman, a foreign woman in a foreign land, and she has no one except her two daughters-in-law who owe her nothing because her two boys, their two husbands, have both died. And so she says to her daughters-in-law, listen, I love you, you're great and everything like that, but I'm going back to Israel because I'm going to get things right, I'm going to go back. And she's bitter at this point in time. In fact, one of my wife's favorite verses in the Bible is when Naomi comes back and her friends come out to meet her and go, oh, Naomi is back. And she goes, no. Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for I am bitter. I mean, it's great. It's so dramatic. It's so awesome. But anyway, so she's got all this bitterness and anger and rage in her. And she says to these two women, listen, don't follow me anymore. Just go home back to your parents. And Ruth's response is so cool. Ruth says to her, I will die where you die, and I will be buried beside you. May the Lord punish me if we are ever separated, even by death. Now that's a friend. That is faithful. You see, often we in friendships are not faithful, we're flaky. It's like they have a bad hair day. It's like, I don't know who that person is. Did you see what they posted on Instagram about anyone that likes cats? I don't want nothing to do with you. And we're flaky. And we allow little tiny things to separate our friendships and cause distraction and discouragement. But a genuine friend is faithful through everything. A friend is faithful. A friend is not just faithful, but a friend is sympathetic. A friend is sympathetic. In the book of Job, Job begins with the statement that Job was a righteous man that God loved, and yet through a period of circumstances, Job lost everything. I mean, he lost everything, and he was devastated. Not only did he lose everything that he had, but he lost his health. A couple chapters into the book of Job, and we see Job sitting in a disheveled place with boils all over his body, with ashes over him, and literally taking a piece of pottery, scraping the boils because it itches so bad. Isn't that a great image just on a Sunday morning when you've lost an hour of sleep? But here's what happens, right? Job has some friends, and they hear about the devastation that's taken place. And I want you to see what they do. Job chapter 2, verse 11. When three of Job's friends heard of the tragedy that he had suffered, they got together and they traveled from their homes. Now, this is not like they walked across the street, okay? They were a ways away, probably several days' journey. They got together, they traveled to where he was from their homes to comfort and console him. And we see a couple of verses later that they show up and they find Job sitting in the middle of his house, disheveled like this, and they don't say a word. They walk in, they sit on the floor, they surround Job, and they don't speak for 7 days. They just sit there. You know, sometimes the reason I hear people, especially when it's like funerals or things that are difficult, like, I don't know what to say. Do you know what the best thing you can probably say? Nothing. In fact, more often than not, the more you open your mouth, the more problems are going to happen. Just be there for them. Sometimes all you need to be with a friend is present. Just there. Put your arm around them, love on them, stand next to them, cry with them, be sympathetic with what they're going through. A genuine friend is sympathetic. A genuine friend is faithful. A genuine friend is sympathetic. A genuine friend is influential. Is influential. Now, this, again, goes both ways. You have to ask yourself, am I influencing the people around me in a positive way, or are the people around me influencing me in a positive way or a negative way? Because it goes both ways. Look at what the Bible says here. again in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Now, you know this, right? You remember your high school years? Right? Your high school years? Like, oh, yeah. That's right. Like, hey, but he had a really cool car that he wrapped around a tree because he was going 100 miles an hour on a 35-mile-an-hour road, but it was awesome. It should say, I really think it should say, associate with fools and look stupid, because that's essentially what happens. The Bible says, who you surround yourself with, they're going to be an influence on you. So you know what? Ask yourself this. Are the people that I call friends better because I'm around them? Are the people that I call friends, are they better off because they know me? Or is their life more difficult? More of a struggle because they know me? See, because that's really the bottom line of influence. Are you moving them in a positive direction, or are you actually pulling them down? Begin to ask yourself that, but at the same time, begin to ask the question, are the people around you who you are associating with, who you are hanging out with, are they also pulling you forward as they walk and they follow God? Because the whole idea, the whole desire is to find people who are running in the same direction and run passionately after God together as you build each other up, the Bible tells us. A friend is faithful. A friend is sympathetic. A friend is influential. A friend is honest. Honest. Man. Honesty is so important, isn't it? I mean, if you have kids, and your mom and your kid comes to you and says, hey, listen, mom, is it important to tell the truth? What would you say to them? It's like, yes, it's important to tell the truth. Then why did you not tell the truth to so-and-so when you were talking to them earlier about how that dress looked on them? You see, we have these varieties and these varying degrees of honesty that we're with each other. But let me tell you something. It is important. In fact, if you are going to be a genuine friend, you have to be willing to be honest. But let's flip the script a little bit. If you want a genuine friend, you better be ready to take some honesty. Because a lot of times, we're more than willing to dish the honesty out, right? Let me tell you something. They're like, well, let me tell you something. No. It's okay. I don't need that. I'm all good. But here's the thing. The Bible puts it this way. I absolutely love this. Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6. An open rebuke is better than hidden love. In other words, if you've got a friend that comes up and says, listen, this is not okay. What you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is going to cause you problems. What you're doing is going to end up ruining your life or your marriage or your relationships or everything that you have that's going good for you. It's going to destroy you. An open rebuke, an open confrontation is better than someone that sits silently by and allows you to run down the road when they know the bridge is out. You are doing them no favors if you're not honest with them. Now, the Bible does say that how we're supposed to speak the truth, right? We're supposed to speak the truth in love. It's not like, let me tell you something so I can rip you apart. No, it's let me tell you something so I can build you up and keep you moving in the right direction. The last part of the verse says this. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. You see, I would much rather have someone who I know loves me look me in the eye and say, Dave, you need to not be doing that. That is wrong. That is not okay. Than I would somebody who I know is against me going, oh, yes, that's fantastic, that's wonderful. Why? It's all about the motive, isn't it? It's all about the motive. You see, a genuine friend, they'll be honest with you, even potentially at the expense of your friendship, because they are more concerned about you than they are maintaining the friendship. Because they know the friendship can be rebuilt, your life may not be able to be. A sincere friend is faithful, sympathetic, influential, honest, supportive. A sincere, genuine friend is supportive. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other person can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Do you remember that commercial? Well, I was a kid at least. And it was the old lady walking around by herself in the house. Do you remember that? And she fell down, but she had Life Alert. So she pushed the button and they say, Mrs. So-and-so, is everything okay? And what does she say? I've fallen and I can't get up. You see, that's what this is all about. Not Life Alert, but that's what this is all about, right? It's like, listen, if you're going through life and you've isolated yourself from everyone and you've burned every bridge in your life, when you blow it, there will be no one there to help you pick the pieces back up again. But a good friend, a good, genuine, sincere friend, when you blow it, isn't going to go, see you later, hope you figure it out. They're going to come alongside, they're going to cry with you because of what you did. They're going to cry because of the pain, but they're going to say, hey, let's help you get back up again. Far too often in the church world, when somebody falls down, instead of being that person that comes alongside to help them back up, we walk up with a shotgun and go, well, you fell. Guess that's it, and move on. You see, here's the cool part. God loves to restore. God loves a great redemption story. And each and every one of us has a redemption story. And so each and every one of us should be ready and willing to support and help others back up and back on the road. A genuine real friend is supportive, is faithful, is sympathetic, is influential, is honest, is loyal. Loyal. Proverbs 17:17 says this, a friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in the time of need. Are you a loyal friend? Let me put it this way. This is the best way I can put it. If someone comes up to you and they begin to tell you something that your friend supposedly did, is your immediate reaction to go, yep, that sounds like him? Or is your immediate reaction to go, you know what? I don't know. That doesn't sound right. We need to go get that figured out. Well, let's go have a conversation. Let's go see what's going on here. Because here's the truth of the matter. Loyalty is something that God loves and honors. Now, loyalty also means that we go back to the first part or the third part there, right, about being honest. And you're honest, you listen, you blew it here. But loyalty also means you don't just immediately abandon and assume the worst. You assume the best until you find out otherwise. You go, listen, let's follow this through. Let's figure this out. Let's see what's going on here. Because a true, genuine, authentic friend is loyal. A true, genuine, authentic friend is faithful and sympathetic and influential and honest and supportive and loyal and kind. Kind. Now, I think it's important to differentiate between male friendships and female friendships, okay? Because I know some of you ladies out there are like, I don't understand how you guys get together and you like rip on each other constantly. You're like beating on each other and all this stuff. You know, what's going on? You're like, you know, that's how guys love each other. Let's just be honest, okay? Like, listen, what are you wearing there? Like this morning, I have five different guys go, what's up with the vest? Okay, seriously. I said, well, you know what? When I put my hands in the pockets, it makes the point bigger. Because that's kind of the way we show love sometimes. But here's the thing. We have to understand that there is a kindness that has to exude our friendships. There's a kindness that has to be existing within that. Now, ladies on the other side, you know, guys, we can be crass sometimes, gentlemen, okay? We can be crass sometimes. You go, what's crass? It's insensitive. Sometimes as guys in male relationships, a guy is going through something, and our reaction is, suck it up, buttercup. Because that's how we want it. We don't want to talk about our feelings and things like that. But sometimes that kindness needs to be there instead of crassness. But ladies, let's talk about your side too. Sometimes we need to recognize that it needs to be kindness instead of cattiness. Because it's real easy to get catty. You know? And that's not good. Because it's incredibly destructive and tears apart the very fabric of the relationship that's taken so long to build. The Bible puts it this way in Job 6:14, anyone who withholds kindness from a friend forsakes the fear of the Almighty. You know what he's saying there? He said, listen, if you have a friend and you don't show them kindness, you're basically saying, I don't really care what God says. God doesn't have anything on me. You're forsaking. You're walking away, and you're not saying you fear God anymore. And I don't mean like fear God, like, oh, God, I'm afraid, but like fear, honor, respect, authority, going, man, let me give you the best example I can give you. You think of the most authoritarian person in your life, maybe growing up, maybe it was your mom or your dad or somebody else or your aunt or uncle, and you came home late. You missed curfew by an hour, and they were standing on the porch, and you had fear because you knew you'd blown it. That's what it's saying here. So listen, God has made it very clear that if you are a friend, you are to show kindness. And if you withhold kindness from a friend, then you should fear God's response. Last one. A sincere friend is faithful, sympathetic, influential, honest, supportive, loyal, kind, discreet. Discreet. Proverbs 17:9 says this, whoever forgives someone's sin makes a friend, but gossiping about the sin breaks up friendships. Whoever forgives someone's sin makes a friend, but gossiping about the sin breaks up friendships. There is no more destructive force in human relationships than gossip. You go, well, I don't know about that. I do. Because I've seen it firsthand, and if you've not experienced it, praise God that you've not experienced it. Gossip will destroy any human relationship and any human connection faster than acid will on paper. It just destroys it immediately. You say, well, yeah, I don't gossip. I share prayer requests. If it's not your business, if it's not your right to share, shut up. In Jesus' name, shut up. You go, well, that's not very nice. I don't care. You see how I put the hands in the pockets there? You go, well, you don't understand. Let me tell you something. I do understand, and so does God. And God says this in the book of Proverbs. It says, gossip is like tasty morsels that go down and taste so good. Gossip is so easy to get trapped into. You go, well, no, we're not gossiping. We're coming around them. Shut up. Come around them and shut up. If it's not yours to share and you've not been given the right to share it, you shouldn't in any way, shape, or form. And let me tell you something, a good friend can be someone that you sit down with over a cup of coffee, or you sit down with at their house, or you sit down with whatever, and you go, listen, let me tell you something. I am struggling with this. And that person that shared that with you should have absolute 100% rock solid steel trap confidence that the only person who will ever hear about that is the person that they are telling. And that's it. That's it. Now, here's the thing that is one slight variation off of that, and I'll tell you why. If a friend shares something with you that you can't help fix, then it is your responsibility to come alongside them and help them find help. You can't just go, well, I'll pray for you. I hope you figure that out. Because that's not a friend, right? Because a friend is loyal and honest and supportive. All the things that we've talked about. So to just sit and wait and hope that it gets figured out, that's not okay either. But you as a person have an unbelievable privilege. If you've accepted Jesus Christ and you have a relationship, a connection, a friendship with somebody else that's accepted Jesus Christ, do you know that God desires to show the love of Christ in relationship through you to everyone that you have a relationship with? Do you know that the people in relationship with you will view God's love for them in how you love them? It's a beautiful thing that God has created, that as we have relationship vertically with Him, that then our love or that we receive from God, we then spread to the people around us through friendship and embrace them in the way that God would call us to embrace them. This morning, my encouragement, my challenge to you is to ask yourself, are you a genuine, sincere, authentic, dyed-in-the-wool friend? Or are you just someone that's hanging out, looking to get as much as you can get, and when it gets tough, you flake out and leave? You see, we all need good friends. We all need people that we can trust, that we know will be sympathetic and discreet and faithful. We need that. And folks, if we cannot find that among other people who love Jesus Christ, then there's something drastically wrong with our walk with Jesus Christ. Because God has called us to be the type of friends that He is to us. And how is He a friend to you? Well, Jesus Christ said that no greater love can anyone show than this, that He is willing to lay down His life for His friends. That's the type of friend that God has been to you, and that now He expects you to be to those around you.